So I was trying to think through the weekend and all the things going along with it, and I knew Kanan had a birthday party at some point on Saturday that he needed to go to. So I go up to Teresa and I say, what time, honey, is the birthday party that Kanan has to go to tomorrow? And she, being the loving, kind woman she is, responded to me the same time it's been the last 8 times you asked me that question. And then I had to look her in the face and the eyes and say, I don't remember what time you said the last 8 times that you told me this, and I don't remember asking you 8 times what time the party would be. And so she then told me what time the party would be. The party was at 3:00, and I will never forget what time now that that party was. I think a lot of us fall into those traps occasionally. Not that that was a trap, but we hear things but don't really listen to them. My wife had apparently told me numerous times what time my son's birthday party that he was going to would be. I just never really listened to her. And in that case, there was really no repercussions to it. There was not much to be lost from me not really hearing everything. If I didn't know at all, I'm sure my wife would have made sure that my son would have been there on time and everything on Saturday would have worked smoothly. But often in life, occasionally, there are times when we don't really hear or we don't really listen to what we're asking or what someone is saying to us. There are massive repercussions. As we look at the Holy Spirit today, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit is speaking and the Holy Spirit is leading. And the question for us is, what happens if we don't listen? In particular, as we see in a few different stories tonight, the Holy Spirit is providing direction. He is speaking directions as in regards, particularly here tonight, to evangelism. We're going to see some different stories relating to Paul and Peter and Philip. And in each of these different stories, the Spirit speaks and the Christian listens. And the question for us tonight is, are we listening as the Spirit is speaking? For me, there was no harm to be done to not listen to my wife, to not hear. Everything was going to run smoothly. There is massive harm to be done to the church, to the nations, to unreached peoples, to our neighbors, to lost people all around us. There's massive harm that will occur if we are not listening to the direction of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us in regards to evangelism. So we're going to look at numerous different passages and see how the Spirit is leading and speaking to us and providing direction when it comes to evangelism. Let's pray, and then we're going to get right into it. God, we thank You that You do speak, and You speak most clearly to us now through Your Word. You've spoken clearly, sufficiently, authoritatively, perfectly. And we thank You for that. You also speak through the Holy Spirit. That You lead us and guide us and direct us. You assist us in choosing what is best. You assist us in showing us who we should speak to. Nations and peoples that we should share the gospel with. So God, we thank You that Your Spirit is still leading today. That these truths that we see in Acts as the Spirit led the first believers. And the Spirit leads them to share the gospel to all nations. It is that same Spirit that is leading us as believers even now to continue to seek to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with those who do not know. And we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first way the Spirit is speaking to us is that the Spirit prompts when opportunities arise. That the Spirit is prompting us when opportunities arise. Look together first in Acts chapter 8, particularly in verse 29. Now the context of this verse is Philip going to the Ethiopian eunuch. Simon has just been martyred, and the believers are really just cast and dispersed all over the place. Revival is occurring, and an angel really just kind of directs Philip towards a certain place. He doesn't just direct him. The angel picks him up and places him where Philip is at this point. And then verse 29, as there is a chariot sitting up on a hill, says, the Spirit tells Philip, go and join the chariot. So the picture is, Philip has been taken into this new area, a new place. He was not, and all of a sudden he was, and he sees there's a chariot, and he's trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do? And the Spirit leads him to go speak to the person who's in the chariot. If we continue reading the story, the Ethiopian eunuch is in the chariot. He is reading from Isaiah, and he's wondering, okay, what does this mean? Who is this speaking about? And so there's an amazing opportunity for someone to speak the gospel to this person. He's searching the scriptures. He's searching for answers, and there's no one around. And in Philip's case, first miraculously, and second through the leading of the Holy Spirit, he says, look, this is a perfect opportunity. We need someone here to share the gospel to this person. They're searching the scriptures. They're trying to figure out what's going on. There's an opportunity that has arisen here. And the Spirit speaks to Philip and says, go and speak to this person and the chariot. And the same thing happens in Acts chapter 11. Just flip over a few pages. This is Peter as he's kind of rehashing the story of how he speaks to Cornelius and Cornelius's family, and kind of going back over the story with the other disciples, the other apostles. And in verse 12, he says, then the Spirit told me to accompany them with no doubts at all. These six brothers accompanied me, and we went into the man's house. He reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and call for Simon, who's named Peter. He will speak a message to you that you and all your household will be saved by. So Peter's refreshing everything. He says, I was up on a roof praying, and I had these dreams, these visions of clean and unclean things, and God saying that these unclean things are clean. I can't call something unclean that God's made clean. And then these people come down, and so the Spirit tells me to go speak to this family. And if you read about Cornelius and you read the chapter before this, Cornelius is a God-fearing man and he's searching the scriptures, but he's not a believer. And so there's this opportunity for an evangelist, for a believer to show up and say, here's the true gospel. This is the true gospel of Jesus and what Jesus has done. And then Cornelius and his entire household are saved as a result of the preaching of Peter. And in the same way that the Spirit led Philip and the Spirit led Peter and has led believers throughout generations, the Spirit is still leading us in those same ways. There are people all around the world that are searching for something. And they're searching for God. They're searching for answers. They're reading the scriptures and they're trying to figure out what is truth. And as the Spirit sent Philip and the Spirit sent Peter, the Spirit is still speaking to us as well. And as we ask the question at the beginning of this message, what are the repercussions? What happens if we're not listening for the Spirit's prompting? What happens if we are not there when the person is reading the scriptures in the chariot? What happens if we're not there and listening when the family is gathered and ready to hear the truth? What happens? So there are fertile soils, and there is a harvest that is plentiful. There are few workers. And the Bible says that over time, we develop calluses. That over time, fertile soils can become not so fertile. And over time, as people at one moment are ready to hear the gospel, those moments may pass. And our question for us is, are we listening to the Spirit leading us? To the person at the table next to us at the restaurant? Our neighbor, 30 feet away from us, 30 steps away from us that we rarely speak to. A coworker is going through difficult times and is asking questions. Are we looking for opportunities that the Spirit is leading us to speak to someone when an opportunity arises? So many times we miss opportunities for evangelism, not because the opportunity isn't there, but because either we're not looking for it or we're not listening for the Spirit prompting us when those opportunities arise. A couple weeks back, we talked about how the Spirit gives boldness. And the Spirit gives boldness for opportunities when they come. As we're praying for opportunities and we're praying for boldness in the midst of opportunities, we're going to be much more aware as the Spirit is leading us and saying, speak to this person. Peter or nor Philip knew either of the people they were going to speak to. It's not like Philip had this relationship with this Ethiopian eunuch. They didn't go way back. They weren't buds from high school. There was no prior relationship here. And the Spirit says, speak. And Philip speaks. And the Spirit says, go. And Peter goes. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know if it's safe. He doesn't know if it's dangerous. He doesn't know if he should be having his conceal and carry with him. He doesn't know any of those things, but he's trusting. The Spirit says, go, and so I'll go. And we often ask a lot of questions, right? Is it going to be safe? How much is it going to cost? Is it going to go well with me? Do I know this person? Well, first, let me just build a relationship up for a while so they know me. And that's good. But there are times when the Spirit just says, go. And in those times, we must listen. If not, we'll not know what happens. And so here we have a Spirit that is prompting when opportunities arise. And in these stories, we see real clear decisions that happen at the end, and they happen as well in this next story. And this is in Acts chapter 13, that the Spirit sends when workers are needed. The Spirit sends when workers are needed. Now, the first two stories were the same. Workers are needed, and the Spirit sends. But this we have a little bit more unique story where it's clear that the Spirit is sending and setting apart certain people for this send process. And this is in chapter 13 of Acts, verses 2 through 4. We have Paul, he was Saul here at this point, but Barnabas and Saul are set apart in verse 2. As they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. And we're going to talk more about how the Spirit sets apart people for the work of the ministry last week as we conclude things. So set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them. Then after they had fasted, prayed, and laid hands on them, they sent them off. Who sent them off? The context there seems to be that it's the ones who laid hands, but verse 4 makes it clear, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they came to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And so it is not the apostles that send them out, it is not the others who lay hands on them that send them out, it is the Holy Spirit who sends them on a mission to Cyprus, and all of these other mission fields as a result. And just as the Holy Spirit sends these first missionaries, the earliest of missionaries, the Holy Spirit is still sending people today to areas of need. In these cases and the prior two cases, the Spirit sends believers where the gospel is needed. And we cannot look around and believe that the gospel is not needed. Everywhere we look, there's a gospel that is needed. Here in America, in our cities and in our towns and rural areas, the gospel is needed. And we need to be sending people to those areas. But not we. It's not we who are sending them. The Spirit is sending those people. And the question is, are people listening to the Spirit sending them? Are we listening when the Spirit sends? Because the Spirit is still sending. The Spirit is still saying, go, make disciples of all nations. The Spirit did not stop sending people with the apostles. The Spirit never stopped. We may have stopped listening as attentively. So what happens if we fail to listen to the Spirit? What happens if the Spirit is seeking to send us where the gospel is needed? What happens if the Spirit is trying to send your child or your grandchild where the gospel is needed? What happens in those moments? A sad truth is that parents and grandparents are often the greatest hindrances to missionary going. Christian parents and grandparents are often the greatest hindrance to missionary going. I've heard story after story of parents saying they will pay for their child to go to school if they don't become a missionary. And these are Christian parents. They're concerned with seeing grandkids. They're concerned with never seeing their child again. They're concerned with the safety of their child when all along the Spirit is sending and we so often refuse to listen. But what happens? What happens if we do refuse to listen? What happens to 3 billion people who are completely unreached? 3 billion people with no access to the gospel, who need sent people to come to them and share the gospel. They need Sauls and Barnabases and Johns and Timothys. They need people to bring the gospel to them. And we know they need it because Romans tells us, turn to the left, to the right, whichever way you want to turn, wherever Romans is, turn that way. Romans 10, 14 and 15. How can they call on him they've not believed in? How can they believe without hearing about him? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And so if we reverse this process, we really go from 15 back to 14, is there is sending first. Someone is being sent, and that is the only chain that is really responsible on our part. There is a sending, and that's so often where this chain breaks down. And then there is a preaching. After a preaching, there is a hearing, and after a hearing, there is a believing. But without the sending, without the listening to the fact that we've been sent, without hearing the Spirit telling us we've been sent, there is no preaching, so there is no hearing, and in turn, there is no believing. If Peter does not go to Cornelius' house, his family does not hear. If Philip does not go to the eunuch does not understand. If we do not go to the people groups in Africa and South America and Indonesia and the Middle East, if we do not go to the hardest of the unreached peoples, if we do not answer the sent call, then the people will not hear and they will not believe. When we love to say that God is leading these people and there's a way that they can hear apart from it, there's no way. There is one way to salvation according to all of Scripture. That is that they hear and then believe. And in the order for them to hear, they must be preached to. In order for them to be preached to, they have to answer the call to be sent. So if we do not listen, then there's 3 billion people who will never hear and then believe. 3 billion people. But let's not just talk about the 3 billion people. Let's think maybe about the 100,000 without a 3-mile radius of our church. Or the 2 people who live next door to you. Or your coworker in the cubicle next to you. Or your brother. Or your uncle. Your aunt. If we do not answer the call, if we do not listen to the Spirit leading us as we've been sent, they will never hear. And they will never believe. I believe, and I may be alone in this, and I don't think I am, but I might be. I do believe that the Spirit is sending people. I also believe that we are not listening. I believe that the Spirit is sending people who may be sitting here, or they're sitting in here on Sunday mornings, and they're sitting in our youth room, and they're sitting out there in Awana right now. I believe the Spirit is calling them and setting them apart and is desiring to send them. And the question is not, are they being sent by the Spirit, but whether or not we will listen to that. And whether or not when they listen, we as the rest of the congregation will listen as well. And we'll come alongside them as the apostles did and lay hands on them and say, yes, we believe the Spirit is sending you to this place. It's going to be dangerous and you may die. But it is worth it, because if we do not listen, they will not hear and not believe. But there's this other really strange story in Acts and how the Spirit leads in regards to evangelism. And it's in Acts chapter 16. Now, a lot of times when we read Scripture, and apparently we're looking for God's guidance in things, people often try to say this picture of, you know, I'm just going to keep going through this path until God closes the door. I'm just going to keep walking until God closes the door. But what happens when the doors open and God still doesn't want you to go? Like I just talked about being sent. And there are going to be people who believe they're sent to a particular place. And there's going to be doors that are open all over the place. And if we just go with the old mindset of, well, if the door's open, just kind of keep walking that pathway. If the door's open, that's how God displays his will. Because here in Acts 16, that's not what happens. In Acts 16, I'm in Romans. That's why it's looked weird. Like, it doesn't look right. In Acts 16, verses 6 through 8, we have a really interesting story. So they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia and were prevented or forbidden by the Holy Spirit from speaking the message in Asia. And there's no statement of they were unwelcome, there was a door closed, but just that they were forbidden by the Spirit to preach the message in Asia. So when they come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Two instances where it looked like the opportunities were pervasive. The need was there. The need for the gospel is there. The opportunity had arose. It looked good. Doors were open all over the place. And if they just continue to say, we're just going to keep walking through doors until one closes, there's no doors closing here. There's just a Spirit forbidding. So what happens in this case if we don't listen? What happens if we just go with the door open mentality, as so many of us do when we're looking for God's will? So I think I should buy this house. Well, until a door closes, I'm just going to keep going through it. Well, I think we should move to this place. All Teresa has said all week long is that she wants to move to Florida. And right now, I wholeheartedly agree. Florida sounds amazing. So what happens if tomorrow the two of us just start saying, okay, until the door closes, we're just going to keep walking through it. We believe that this is how God speaks, and so we're just going to keep, we'll throw our resume out there. A church has some interest in me, so we'll just start walking that way. And until the door closes, we're just going to keep marching through. And we don't listen to the Spirit, and we're not concerned with what is truly best according to the Spirit. Well, what would happen is we would not be worried about snow tomorrow, which would be a good thing. But a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night, we've been looking at the prayers of Paul. And we looked in Philippians chapter 1. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. Paul says, I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment. I want you to grow. We spent a lot of time, though, on verse 10. Why? So that you can approve the things that are superior. Paul understood, I think this was an example, that in life there's a lot of gray areas. There's a lot of things that may look to be good. The Bible doesn't clearly speak anywhere in Scripture in the Old Testament to the question that Paul was asking at that moment. God, do I go to Asia or do I go somewhere else? Do I speak to these people or somewhere else? The Bible doesn't say in Isaiah, Paul was journeying along and he came to Asia, but he doesn't speak in Asia, he goes left. The Bible never speaks clearly in that, and so Paul has to pray, and his prayer is very much according to Philippians chapter 1, verse 10. God, show me that which is best. Show me that which is superior. Show me what you would have me to do in this moment. And so what if Paul doesn't listen in this instance? And he goes and he preaches the gospel in Asia. Well, probably what happens is there are people in Asia who become believers. It's probably what happens. But there's not people in Macedonia who do. And we don't have the letter of the Philippians. And we don't have some of the other trips. But we do. Because Paul was concerned with figuring out where God was walking him in this journey. He was listening to the Spirit. And he wasn't just saying, okay, unless a door closes, I'm just going to keep walking through. Unless the door closes, I'm going to keep walking through. So God, here's my plan, God. This is the only way that you can work. The only way I'll listen to you, God, is if you close a door. And God's saying, no, it's not how this works. It's not how I display my will at all times. Is it a way that God often displays his will? Yes, that is a way that God sometimes displays. But there are moments, like what happens here with Paul and Timothy, where God says, no, the door's open. There's not danger, nothing standing in your way other than the Spirit is saying, do not go. And when the Spirit says, do not go, do not go. And if you do go, you'll probably preach the gospel, and that would be great. But there's a people here in Macedonia who need the gospel. And if you go to Asia, people in Macedonia don't hear. And so this is good. This is superior. And if we aren't listening, we'll miss out on what's best. Mark and I and the rest of the leadership, we're praying about what is best for our church. And there's some direction that we're going to take. It might be controversial. At some point, we may do something crazy. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that North Fairfield Baptist Church in 2015 did this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say this is the path that North Fairfield Baptist Church is to take. And so we have to pray Philippians 1, 9, and 10. We're praying that the Spirit is leading us in directions. And when the Spirit says stop, we're going to stop. When the Spirit says go, we're going to go. And so in September, we're going to Toronto, Pastor Mark and I. Because we believe that the Spirit has told us to stop going to Haiti. Now, if we kept going to Haiti, what would that mean? It would mean we'd still preach the gospel in Haiti. It would mean that there probably would be families with houses that wouldn't have houses if we didn't go to Haiti. It means that there would be children and grandchildren and teenagers and adults who would have experiences in Haiti of sharing the gospel and experiencing social injustice as never seen before that would experience those things. But we believe that the Spirit said, no, you're done there. As we've really prayed about what we want to be involved in as a church and how we believe God is leading us, we really felt led to seeking more of an unreached people group, more of an unreached community, a city in which there is one evangelical church that is Bible-believing per 175,000 people. There are about 2% or so evangelical in Toronto. And so we believe that the Spirit is leading us in this direction. And we're listening. We believe we're listening. And we still don't know what it looks like. We're going on a preview trip in September, and we'll be praying all the way up until then. God, show us what this looks like for us. We pray that we're listening. We pray that we're going in the direction you're leading, Spirit. But we don't know. We don't know the church planter we're going to work with. We don't know the missionary we're working with. We don't know a church. We have no clue how this is playing out. But when we look in Acts, we see a Spirit that leads, a Spirit that's giving direction in regards to missions and evangelism. And so we look at Acts and we say, okay, we've been prompted that there's a need here that we see. The Spirit prompts us when a need arises, and there's a need in Toronto. The Spirit sends when workers are needed, and we have workers who are available, and workers are needed in Toronto. And we believe that maybe the Spirit is sending us. And we also believe the Spirit forbids and He knows best. And we really believe that the Spirit has said that we're done in Haiti. And so we're trying to listen to what the Spirit is saying to us. And maybe we're wrong. And we might be wrong. We don't believe we are, but we are sinful. You have no clue how sinful we are. So we're going to make this step. We're going to take this step, a different step, because we believe that the Spirit's leading in this direction. Mainly because we believe that the Spirit is leading. At every moment of every day, He is leading. The question is, are we going to ask 8 times, what time is the birthday party? Or are we going to listen the first time when the Spirit says to us, that person right there, they need you to share the gospel with them. I pray that we are a church and a people that listens and the Spirit leads, whether he says go or he says stop. May we be a people that are listening. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you speak to us through your Spirit. I pray that the Spirit would be speaking even now and drawing people to repentance who need it. And I pray that if there are any in this room that you are sending to the nations, they would hear that and surrender to that call. God, that we as a church would rejoice with them and would send them. God, but I do believe that there are people in this room that you're sending somewhere. You're sending us all. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. You're sending every single believer to make disciples of all nations. So you may just be sending us to Kroger or sending us to Panera or sending us to our next door neighbors or sending us to our place of employment, but you're sending every single one of us. And I pray that as we're sent, we would take the gospel with us. The glorious good news of Jesus who suffered when he did not deserve to suffer. He died when he did not deserve to die. He bore your wrath on our behalf so we can know you and live for you all of our days and for all eternity. We could see you face to face. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray.